At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is, Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Number to call us, 1-800-636-1067. A lot to get to. It was a rather sad night in our nation's capital last night as the Washington Capitals suffered an OT playoff loss in game number one of round number two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We will break down every angle of game number one as we wrote throughout the show here tonight. Our pal Chris Russell was live out at Cap One Arena last night. We will have him join the program. And it feels like off of the, and I've been listening all day long. I tapped into the Junkies earlier this morning. I was listening to G&D per usual as I was on my way in. There is so much doom and gloom around last night's loss that you would almost think that the Caps are down and out and have no chance to win this series. That is the mentality that I am picking up, at least from the fans, from some of my colleagues here at The Fan. And I get it. We're all Caps fans. We all want to see this group advance as far as possible. But it really feels like after last night, there is plenty of doom and gloom surrounding this hockey team. And we'll get to it all as we roll throughout the show. In terms of legitimate doom and gloom and why you actually should be angry, the Nats bullpen sucks. It's point blank, period. The Nats bullpen may be the worst unit in all of Major League Baseball. And I'm not giving away state secrets when I say that. I completely understand. But good God almighty, have they stunk it up. Once again here this afternoon, the bullpen goes absolutely nuclear. Goes absolutely nuclear. And it feels like, am I reading this right? How many runs did they give up in the sixth inning?
Eight.
Is this real?
Yep.
I mean, get out of here.
Are you surprised?
I'm surprised. First of all, let's get to the goods. Let's get to the goods first. Michael Soroka was back this afternoon. There is some conversation surrounding. We'll have Bobby Blanco, who covers the Nats for Masson.com, join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But Michael Soroka came back today and wasn't awful. Gave up four runs on five hits. Lasted just five innings. But I don't know, man. I don't know where to start with this Nationals team, because that's the same thing I say every time I begin to talk about Nats baseball. They are the model of inconsistency, and that's okay because they're a super young group right now, but it's frustrating because they very clearly need upgrades to the pen, and it's frustrating because, first of all, it's a good Cleveland Guardians team that they've been battling with over the past couple of days. Let's first and foremost get that out of the way. But damn, does it not feel like this Nationals team, from a talent standpoint, look at all the good youngins that they have, doesn't it feel like it's time to spend some money on the pen? Because if you were able to spend a little bit of money on your bullpen, maybe, just maybe, this would be a slam dunk wild card team this year. Am I overstating it in terms of what the issues are with this group? And I didn't even expect to come off the top getting frustrated about the Nationals, but I was listening to the game and watching Mark Zuckerberg's Twitter, because that bad boy gives me plenty of information. One of my favorite follows on Twitter when it comes to the Nats. So I'm watching the breakdown, the meltdown of the bullpen, and it almost felt unbelievable. And then I come in here and I pull up the box score, and there's a number 8 under the number 6 in terms of the 6th inning. They gave up 8 runs in the 6th inning. Nats were up 3-0. Ended up losing 8-6. And it's frustrating for all the reasons I just mentioned. They're playing good ball. There's a big enough sample size to this point. We're almost 40 games into the season. If they had legitimate bullpen help, this would be a playoff team. Young Ben Strowman, am I overstating it at all? If they had some sort of bullpen help, would you consider this a postseason team?
I think they'd be pretty close, at least. I mean, they would have got back to 500 had they won the past two games. And
which
bullpen
just completely melts.
I guess Lord folded a little bit in the 6th, but yeah. I mean, Brad Lord giving you 5 shutout innings before that. I mean, you're going to take that every single time.
I think you have to, and that obviously brings up something I'll ask Bobby a little bit later on tonight. Like, Soroka just automatically get a spot in the rotation, because Brad Lord hadn't looked bad at all.
I heard Rizzo on the Junkies today, and he mentioned that they're pretty sure he's going back to the bullpen, and they're going to use him as kind of...
Well, they need him.
He's going to be a guy that can give them innings, which is very helpful for them. If somebody gets into trouble early, you can call on him to give you 3 to 4 innings at a time. But, I mean, maybe him going to the bullpen, if Soroka can pitch as well as he did through the first 5 innings of this game,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at a little bit of better bullpen if you have Lord in there helping
you. Well, 100%. 100%. That's why that's... Wow, it just got really dark in here. The automatic light just cut off. I'm not used to that. That's the frustration. That's the dilemma here for the Nats. So it's good that you're able to get Soroka back. As you know, Ben just mentioned, looked pretty good earlier this afternoon. But I don't know. And I feel like I'm almost at a loss of words with this, because I don't want to go too hard. Because here's the thing about the bullpen. Here's the thing about pitching. In Major League Baseball, I would even broaden the stroke a little bit and talk about it in terms of professional sports. Name me a position that sets the tone more than a pitcher does in terms of vibes, right? You can have a baseball team that is not the most talented, that doesn't have a whole lot of star power, but if you got a real badass on the mound, that gives you good vibes, gives you that confidence, that swagger that I think all good starting pitchers need, that it makes everybody else better on your baseball team in turn. I think Nats fans, this is how I felt about Max Scherzer when he was on the bump here. It just felt like whenever Mad Max was on the bump, vibes were high. Now, the rest of the team was obviously pretty damn good around him, but to use this year's team as an example, Mackenzie Gore is just flat out shoved for the most part this year. Him and Jake Irvin, I thought, have done some really good things here to start. And they have kind of set the tone and provided, you know, the energy for this group. I'm at a point right now where we're what? 2 months away from the deadline? I asked you this question last time we were on together, Ben. Will they be in enough contention come the deadline to make a move for a guy in the pen?
No. My answer has consistently been no, because, well, I mean, you ask about making a move to get a guy in the pen. Their bullpen is so bad, they are not going to be in the spot.
Yeah.
There's no consistency. I mean, you have your best guy in the bullpen is Finnegan, who's your closer. Ferreira has shown some signs of stuff. But
well, yesterday he was just...
And he's still volatile at this point. But he, you know, he's a guy, he's young, he's got good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have his nights where he struggles, and that's okay. But you just have some clowns in there right now that are so unreliable. Sims, Lopez. I mean, Lopez has 5 wins this year, which is pretty funny.
Well, it's a joke. I mean,
it's funny.
That's why pitcher wins is just like QB wins in the NFL. It's so much good. You can play so bad and still get credited with the W. It's going to be fascinating, though, to see how this thing moves on. They end up losing 2 out of 3 against a really damn good Cleveland team. I thought they played well throughout this series. James Wood continuing to hit the baseball really well. Dylan Cruz had a massive hit yesterday. So we'll see. They got a 3-game series coming up with the St. Louis Cardinals. That begins on Friday, if I am not mistaken. You can hear all the action, of course, right here on the Washington Nationals Radio Network. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll get hot and heavy into the hockey real quick. The Washington Capitals down 1-0 after falling in OT last night to the Carolina Hurricanes. Should we be sounding the alarm about the Washington Capitals? All that more coming up next here on The Fan.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the Augustin Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot to get to. NBA playoffs on tap tonight. Another doubleheader. By the way, Ben, did you see Tyrese Halliburton? What the Halliburton? Jesus. Last night was crazy. I mentioned your boy is just a terrible gambler, so I don't try and gamble. If I do, the most I'm putting on something is like $5, $10 if I'm rich. Last night, Tyrese Halliburton, how many pockets did he screw up last night? They were down 7 with like 54 seconds left. And the end of game execution for Cleveland, I mean, just god awful. First and foremost, the Pacers, I was, you know, looking at the score. I didn't sit down and keep my eyes glued on the game the entire time because I was watching shooting guards last night. We'll get to my takeaway from shooting guards last night, the untold Netflix original special on Gilbert Arenas, Javaris Crittenden, and the gun situation in the Wizards locker room. So I was flipping back and forth between that. I'm watching, you know, I'm watching the untold documentary on my TV, then I have the game on my laptop because I illegally pirate sports events because I'm a, you know, broke part-time radio host. What we have to do. The TV app.to, people. If you're looking for some, I was a big Stream East guy. I feel like I put stock in Stream East. I got the whole hood hip to Stream East. In college? Are you kidding me? You know how much of a sicko I am for watching Commander games. So I went to college in Bethany, West Virginia. It's Yinzer country, so right? So those pierogi-eating monsters. Speaking of the Steelers, we'll get to their big news a little bit later on as well. But the local game that you'd always get was Steelers or Browns. So I had to get hip to, you know, how to illegally pirate games in Stream East, baby. Stream East, crack streams, meth streams, narcotic in front of streams, and you'll get good football.
Did you silence your notifications on your phone and stuff?
Oh, you damn right. I still do it. I have to do it here in the studio.
There's nothing worse
than
getting something spoiled by other people.
No, it's the worst. You were asking me about the scheduled release show. Ugh, vomit. That's all scheduled release day is about.
Spoilers?
Spoilers, and it's going to annoy me. So on that day, next week, week from tomorrow, our scheduled release show over on the Team 980, myself, young Ben Strober, getting you hip to the 17-game slate for the Washington Commanders. Do not talk to me on that day. My phone will be off. I will not be answering texts. I will be unavailable because I refuse to have an hour jumping all over the place. This year's schedule is probably going to be my favorite schedule that's ever been released as a fan. I think there's a maximum of 7 times you could be in primetime. Washington will be in primetime 7 times. I think they're going to be the season opener. I would start 2025 off of the rematch of the NFC Championship game. Philly's ring ceremony, they're feeling good about themselves. Washington debuting Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. I think it'd be perfect. But we'll see. Next week on the Team 980, our scheduled release show, so make sure you keep your ears peeled for more information about that. I mentioned I want to talk about the Washington Capitals here while we had a quick second. Our pal Chris Russell going to join us top of the 9 o'clock hour. He was live out at Cap One Arena last night as the Capitals just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was, they got outclassed last night. Let's just call it what it is. And I had plenty of questions going into last night because every sports book that you looked at, Carolina was favored it. Every sports book you looked at, the Hurricanes were favored last night, and I didn't understand why. I know the way that they had played down the stretch. I understand the style contrast between these two teams. So the Caps also have the lowest Stanley Cup odds of all the playoff teams. So the Capitals having the second best record in hockey means nothing to anybody. I guess it has a lot to do with the way they played down the stretch. So maybe that is a part of it. But, man, last night, if you got to watch Caps and Hurricanes, it was tough. Looking at the box score, it kind of tells the story. If you didn't get a chance to watch everything last night, I got to go look through. I got this hockey page on the X app that gives me, like, these gnarly stats. The Caps only had 14 shot attempts last night. They only had 14 shot attempts last night. Like, that's tough. And we were talking about it. I had John Walton join me on Monday as I sat in for Kevin Sheehan, and I said, John, what's the X factor in this series? How does Washington walk away? He said, well, they've got to be better with their special teams. They dominated the 5-on-5 play against Montreal in that opening round. The power play, though, is where you kind of saw Washington struggle. Only 2 power play opportunities last night. You didn't score off of it, obviously, and you know, it was part of the reason why, you know, it felt like offense was just really tough to come by. Consistently giving the puck away in silly fashion. My buddy was in attendance last night. We'll ask Chris Russell this when he joins us. My buddy was texting me, and he's like, dude, like, the major difference right now, first of all, my buddy thinks the Caps are getting swept. So I know I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here. My pal thinks the Caps are going to absolutely be swept. And the one thing that he said was, man, Carolina, and it's I guess difficult to gauge while you're watching on TV in comparison to being in the arena, you know, close to the ice. He was just talking about the speed that Carolina skated with and how that is going to be the Achilles heel, the problem, the issue for the Washington Capitals. They simply are not as quick as this Carolina Hurricane team is. It was a 2-1 contest. I had thought going in that the formula for Washington in this series would be to keep things kind of low scoring, right? And I just don't know, after watching last night and seeing the way Carolina dominated, I don't know how much of a shot I give the Washington Capitals to advance out of this series. It's always tough. Game one in the postseason, whether it's basketball, whether it's hockey, baseball, it is such a tone-setting game, in my opinion. And last night, Carolina did more than just set the tone. They put the Washington Capitals on notice. And listening to Coach Carb's postgame, he was very open, honest, and transparent about it. That's what I love about Spence. Like, he gonna tell her how a T.I. is, point blank. They didn't play well. They got outclassed. They got out physical. And the moment that we saw last night that really kind of takes the cake for me, and I'll be real here, I feel like moving forward in this series, the Caps will have the wake-up call. Like, last night will be the wake-up call that they needed, and they'll come back tomorrow night and bounce back in a major way. Wishful thinking here. I get it. But we said going in this was going to be chippy. Caps and Hurricanes, I don't know if it has the mystique of like Ovi versus Crosby and why Pittsburgh is such a rival. I don't know if Carolina and Washington has that type of, you know, disdain for each other, but it's damn close. It's damn close. And it feels like that moment we saw last night between was it Sebastian Aho? And by the way, I found out there's more than one Sebastian Aho in the NHL, which is absolutely ludicrous to me. Old Tommy Wilson, the badass of this bunch, veteran, rips his mouth guard out of his mouth. If that doesn't scream we don't like each other, I don't know what does. Here's the thing about playing in a chippy physical series. When you lose, and you lose in the fashion that Washington did, it makes you look like you got punked. Makes it look like you don't have any onions, any kahunas, so to speak. So I'm hoping that last night was an anomaly and they bounce back in a big way tomorrow against the Carolina Hurricanes, game two of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Chris Russell joins us top of the 9 o'clock hour to get hot and heavy into the Washington Capitals. He was live out at Cap One Arena last night. So we'll get his thoughts on, you know, Carolina, as I keep describing it, punching the Washington Capitals in the mouth last night. Top of the 7 o'clock hour coming up. NBA playoffs get ready to tip off as well. Knicks and Celtics game number two on tap. We'll keep you up to speed all show long as that rolls on. When we come back, though, big time trade happened this morning in the National Football League, and NFC East foe getting a hell of a lot stronger. We'll give you the details on that next. This is The Fan.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Still moving and grooving right along as we take you up to 7 o'clock here, as we take you up to 10 o'clock, rather, here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest of Charles Linnell Willingham. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. Celtics and Knicks, game number two. Get ready to get underway from the TD Garden in Boston. In that first matchup between these two teams, the Celtics, historically bad. They missed 45 three-point attempts in game number one. It was the most three-point attempts missed in a postseason game in NBA history. So hopefully for the Celtics, they're able to have better shot diet. That's the more frustrating thing to me with Boston is they consistently jack up triples. And I'm not sure that if you're New York, right, you should be. I'm not sure if you feel too great about yourself after only winning by three in overtime after Boston missed 45 triples. Here's the tough part about the Celtics. They shot the ball extremely well throughout the regular season. They shoot threes more than any other team in the association. Here's the tough thing about a postseason series. To beat them, you got to hope that they shoot the ball poorly four different times throughout the series, because it's the first of four, obviously. And I just think that's a really difficult thing to ask out of your basketball team. I just do. So the Knicks here in game two, the most important thing for them, I would think, is one, protecting the basketball, obviously. And then your other guys have to step up. OG Anunoby laid six triples the other night. It was the help that Jalen Brunson needed. Karl Anthony Towns did Karl Anthony nothing on or in game one, rather, the other night. So for New York here tonight, someone other than Jalen Brunson has to step up and be big for this basketball team. I just don't know who exactly that is going to be. That is the big time question here. I do not expect Boston to shoot it as poorly as they did the other night here again. I just don't. So it's not something that I would bank on. And it feels like to me, Boston's going to come back and win in a blowout fashion here tonight. Like, that's the vibe that I get from tonight's game. I could be wrong, but it feels like Boston's getting ready to come out and put belt to ass of the New York Knicks. Do I hope that happens? I actually don't have a dog in this fight. I personally feel like the Knicks have totally playing with house money at this point. I don't think anybody expects them to win this series. But, you know, I still feel like, maybe, you know, they've got a legitimate shot here. Knicks and Celtics get ready to tip off. I mentioned there was a big-time trade in the National Football League earlier today as the Dallas Cowboys acquired George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. On its surface, love the deal for Dallas. Getting a number two wide receiver opposite of CeeDee Lamb was something that I know they went into the draft thinking about. So when they didn't go receiver at number 12 overall and they went with Tyler Booker out of Alabama, I figured that, you know, they'd be in the veteran wide receiver market still. George Pickens is interesting, though. It perfectly complements CeeDee Lamb, in my opinion, in terms of that guy that can be, you know, that possession threat. And there we go. Just as we talked about, just as we talked about OG Anunoby going crazy in game one, lacing 6 threes, just hit a big time triple to start this one. So we'll see. Buckle up. We'll keep you up to speed on Celtics and Knicks all night long here. But the Dallas Cowboys, I thought their trade going out and acquiring George Pickens was huge. They needed that wide receiver opposite CeeDee Lamb. The excuses for Dak Prescott, I would think you're kind of out of him at this point. They have continued to surround him with a very damn good supporting cast. We'll see how he, you know, ultimately uses that supporting cast. But I think for Dallas, if you're looking at the moves that they've made this offseason, you got to be feeling really good about it. I just don't know necessarily where they stand now when it comes to the division race after making this move. I still think the NFC East starts and finishes with Philadelphia. They are the clear-cut best team to me. If you're Dallas, though, after the draft you had, Tyler Booker, Donovan Azeraku, Siobhan Revel, Jaden Blue, are you not feeling like you moved the needle a little bit? They got my guy Phil Maffa as well from Clemson. I think you got to be feeling like you moved the needle a little bit if you're the Dallas Cowboys. Free agency, I thought they did pretty well with themselves. You got to look at your running back tandem. Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Jadon Blue, and Phil Maffa. You got four badass running backs. Or four guys that have done it before. Two guys, rather, that have done it before in Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders. So you got to be feeling good about yourself if you're Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Jalen Tolbert, Jonathan Mingo. Like, how do you not feel good about that group? Your tight end unit with Ferguson and Schoonmaker. Got to love that. I love the Tyler Booker signing, though, man. Or them drafting Tyler Booker. I think that is going to prove to be one of the most valuable, you know, draft picks of this entire class. He was, to me, the clear-cut best interior offensive lineman of this bunch. I think it's one of those picks where it's low risk, high reward, because I think he, at his best, I think he could turn into an all-pro caliber guard. At his worst, you know, he's one of the better guards in football. Like, that's just how I feel about Booker. He was as clean of an evaluation as anybody coming out. And I think if you're a Cowboys fan, you got to feel really good about what he could do for you and how he could ultimately help you, for sure. The big question I have for Dallas, though, is how does their new head coach jive with being the leader? How does their new head coach handle all of the different personalities on this football team? That's my question for Dallas. I think there's no lack of talent on the Cowboys. Will Shoddy, Brian Schottenheimer, be the perfect leader of men that they need? I think Washington fans, we can attest to this as well as anybody. You don't have to have the most talented football team in the world. You don't. Coaching matters. And I guess for years with Ron Rivera here in D.C., there was probably a thought that, you know, maybe coaching doesn't matter as much. Well, Dan Quinn proved to you last year. Joe Witt Jr. proved to you last year. Cliff Kingsbury proved to you last year that, yeah, you bet your ass coaching matters. And I think the same can be said about the Dallas Cowboys. All the rumors coming out of Dallas is that, yeah, you know, the players love Schottenheimer, right? He is the right energetic, fiery leader that they need, a contrast from Mike McCarthy. Okay. We will see. We will have to wait and see when it comes to Dallas and how well Coach Schottenheimer does in year number one. From a talent perspective, though, I just want to look at the talent here. Cowboys got a hell of a lot better this offseason. I really do enjoy the moves that they made. I think they got better. The other thing is this, now that I'm talking about Dallas. When I look at the rusher room, the edge rush room for Dallas, Dante Fowler, where do we know that name from? 10.5 sacks last year for Washington. Donovan Azaraku, a guy that they got in the second round that most folks felt was a first-round rusher. 16.5 sacks last year at Boston College. Right? Micah Parsons, we all know what he is, arguably the best edge in the National Football League. Marshawn Nyland, coming back healthy out of Western Michigan, their second-round pick from a year ago. He's now in the fold, right? Sam Williams from Ole Miss, their 2022 second-round pick, a guy that I think has double-digit sack potential. He's that type of rusher for Dallas. All of a sudden, this Cowboys defensive front is cooking with gas. You know what it makes me think? Man, am I happy we went out and got Laremy Tunsil and Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon. You got to be feeling that way if you're Washington. You look at what Philly has up front. You look at what Dallas has up front. You look at what the Giants have up front. You are now more than well equipped to handle the pass rush units in your division. More than equipped. So I know there was some, you know, doubts and reservations about, you know, Washington not walking away with an edge rusher in the draft. That's okay, because you improved the clear-cut strength of your football team last year, and that was your offense. And you did everything you could to provide more assets, more resources for the most valuable component of this entire franchise, talking about Jayden Daniels. 1-800-636-1067 is the number if you all want to chime in with us as we take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. About 4 minutes in to game number two of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Boston's up 5-0. Kristaps Porzingis, who left game number one with a stomach virus, is active and will play here tonight. We'll keep you up to speed on Celtics and Knicks all night long as we roll throughout the program. I mentioned, though, Dallas with a big-time move this morning, acquiring George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. It got me thinking, who's had the best offseason in the NFC East? Give you my thoughts on that next as the Fan. one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Celtics and Knicks game number two underway from TD Garden, Boston. 13-4 advantage. They led by as many as 20-plus in game number one before the Knicks kicked things into that extra gear and dog walk the Boston Celtics. As we mentioned to start the show, 45 three-point misses the other night from Boston, the most misses from deep ever in an NBA playoff game. So we'll see whether or not the Celtics can right their wrongs from game one. Here early on to start, they're shooting the cover off the basketball. This is what they do. This is why they're dangerous. It's why they're so hard to defeat. You're going to need, what, four bad shooting games from them to beat them? And I just don't know how sustainable that ultimately is. We will keep you up to speed all evening long on game number two of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Right now, talking a little bit of National Football League, the Dallas Cowboys, a huge trade this morning, acquiring George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. This according to Todd Archer of ESPN. The trade will send Pickens to Dallas for a third-round pick next year, and the Cowboys also giving up a fifth-round pick in 2027. So See, Jerry wasn't lying. Remember, Jerry said, I've got a big trade that we're ultimately working on, and there will be more moves from us as Dallas. It's a terrible Jerry Jones impersonation.
Give yourself a little credit. I've heard worse.
Wasn't bad.
Heard worse.
It was okay.
You're no Danny.
Oh, well, Danny's... I haven't heard Danny do Jerry Jones. We have a caller. And Ben, maybe you're too young for this. You're familiar with Jera?
Well, I know the term Jera world.
No, Jera.
Caller.
The caller Jera, yeah.
No, who's Jera?
Man. Oh. Ask your dad who Jera is. I'm sure your dad knows who Jera is. If you've been listening to DC Sports Talk Radio during the 2010s.
I've been listening to this station since like 2009. Is that when it started, right?
Yeah, so you should know Jera.
I can't remember who called when I was in second grade.
He's a famous caller. He impersonates Jerry Jones, and it's the best Jerry Jones impersonation
Is this on YouTube?
It's everywhere. Jera,
I'm going to find it.
Yeah, Jera.
I'm going to find it.
Jera calls pretty frequently during football season. But nonetheless, the Cowboys make the trade for George Pickens, and we were talking about it in the last break. Their offseason has been pretty damn good. When you consider the upgrade they made up front to their offensive line, the running back room, which was a joke last year, they have significantly upgraded that unit. And this defense, when they are healthy, I think the pass rushers that they have really can impact the quarterback. They re-signed Oso Digizuwa to a massive extension before free agency started. I know there are a lot of high expectations for him. But Dallas has had a good offseason. I look at the New York Giants and what they did in the draft. I think they've had a really good offseason as well. The Giants, to me, it's a 3-win team from a year ago. Let's keep that in the front of our minds. But you look at some of their offseason additions. Javon Holland, I think, huge. Paulson Adebo, huge. Abdul Carter, huge. They've made moves defensively that make you go, And think about how much Washington struggled against that Giants defense in that first matchup in week number two. So they aren't terrible on defense. Offensively is where I get excited for them. When you get the opportunity to bring in and add Cam Scataboo to your offense, I think you make your football team a hell of a lot better. Darius Alexander, being able to pick him up out of Toledo, in round number two, a guy that clearly, in my opinion, should have been a first-round pick, but what the hell do I know clearly about the National Football League? I just think you got to feel good about the Giants and what they did in the draft in particular. We always come out and give draft grades to folks. I think the Giants have earned more than a passing grade for how they drafted with their edge rush, with their draft picks this year. Abdul Carter, Jackson Dart. I don't count the Jackson Dart pick. I think that honestly makes the football team worse. But Abdul Carter, Darius Alexander, Cam Scataboo, Marcus Embo from Purdue comes in and is going to compete for one of the starting guard spots on their offensive line. Like, they just got better. And the key that's going to tie everything together this year for the Nationals, for the Giants, the key that's going to tie everything together for that group is the quarterback position. What are you going to get? What are you going to get out of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston? Brian Daboll has already come out and named Russell Wilson the starter for the season already. First and foremost, terrible decision. Terrible, terrible, god-awful decision. Get that out of the way first and foremost. Did not like that move. What type of message, Brian Daboll, Mr. Ozempic mascot himself, the tuna fish sandwich eating connoisseur, what example are you setting for the rest of your football team by naming Mr. Limited the starting quarterback before he even takes a snap?
You and I talked about this, I think, on Sunday, right? How we kind of didn't like how the Bears did it this way with Caleb Williams, and hey, we were excited that Jaden Daniels had to earn his spot as the starting quarterback. I mean, I didn't even know that until you just brought that. That's a bizarre decision
exactly.
to name him the starter right now.
Especially when you consider, like,
have three QBs.
Yeah. I'm looking it up again. Real quick, just to make sure I'm not tripping. But Brian Daboll named him the starter. When did he do this? When did he actually do this? This happened, Was it during the league meetings?
No, is it wrong with me that I really hope Jameis Winston plays at some point this year?
I hope he wins the job. I think he's a better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
He's so entertaining.
Yeah, this was on April 24th. Brian Daboll said this, that Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
All right.
Yeah. Their offseason as a whole, though, I don't like the way they handle the quarterback position. I know they went out and swung big for Matthew Stafford and offered him $50 million annually, so kudos to them for that. But as a whole, when I look at what they were able to accomplish this offseason, I think I like Dallas's offseason better. The Philadelphia Eagles and what they were able to accomplish this offseason, the rich continuing to get richer. They had probably the steal of the draft, taking Jahad Campbell at the end of round one. They get Andrew Mukuba from Texas, the starting safety. You get Ty Robinson out of Nebraska in the fourth, who many folks thought would go in the second or third round. Mac McWilliams from UCF. You want to talk about a corner that comes in there and is feisty. It could give them some help immediately outside and in the slot. Loved him coming out of UCF. He was a guy I thought Washington would potentially target in the later rounds if they went with a corner. And then in free agency, I feel like if you're Philadelphia, you lost some pieces here, right? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, lost for Philadelphia. Milton Williams, gone for Philadelphia. Your starting right guard from last year, big ticket Mekhi Becton, gone from last year. So, I don't know, man. The Eagles and what they accomplished this offseason is interesting. There is one more move that is expected to happen for Philadelphia that hasn't yet. I got Brian Baldinger pretty much spilling the beans earlier that Justin Simmons wants to be an Eagle. And that's not good news if you were a Commanders fan. Because we need Justin Simmons bad. I continue to, you know, express my concern about what Washington has at corner. Oh, excuse me, what Washington has at safety. And I think Justin Simmons comes in and makes that room a hell of a lot better. All signs, though, right now at least, point towards him going to the Philadelphia Eagles. When you stack up New York's offseason, Philadelphia's offseason, Dallas's offseason, Washington's offseason, who do you think's had the best offseason in the NFC East? 1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on that. Plus, what's the best position group in this NFC East after George Pickens creates a superstar wide receiver tandem in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb? All that and more next on The Fan. One 800 636 1067, the number. Right now on the the blank blank listener line, but the listener line currently does not have a sponsor. But you can call us at 1-800-636-1067. Take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Talking all things NFC East right now, after the Cowboys made a pretty seismic move this morning to acquire George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who's had the best offseason in the NFC East? 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. I hate saying this. I think the Cowboys have the best offseason of any team in the NFC East. When you consider what they did via the draft and free agency, God, I feel like a total dweeb and dork saying this. It pains me, because you all know how I feel about that group, that team. But Strobes, you know this, man. I'm gonna give credit where credit is due. I think the Dallas Cowboys had clearly the best offseason of any team in the NFC East. They got better on both sides of the football, and they're a team that next year is going to be the beneficiary of playing a third-place schedule. So do not sleep on the Dallas Cowboys. You know what we didn't get to see last year because of the timing? Dak Prescott. We didn't see Dak all year last year. We haven't seen Jaden versus Dak yet. And I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine that is a Cowboys fan. And FYI, Ben, I don't know if you have any Cowboy fans out there, or Cowboy friends, rather, out there. The Cowboys and their fan base hate Dak Prescott. I mean, they cannot stand one Dakota Rain Prescott, their $60 million per year quarterback. Adding George Pickens to CeeDee Lamb, and now they're going to have a running game because they actually invested in that position last year. How do you not like what Dallas has done this offseason?
It's funny you mentioned, because I do know a lot of Cowboy fans. And you know there's like the stereotype where the Cowboy fan is always saying it's their year. Well, we're so good, we're winning the Super Bowl. Everyone I know, all the Cowboy fans, they hate everything. They hate football. They can't stand talking about football because of how the Cowboys have done them the past couple years. And I've talked to a couple of them today about Pickens, and they go, we still suck. Dak still sucks.
What?
We still have Jerry Jones. We're not winning anything.
Well, that's the most common thing that you hear amongst Cowboys fans. And I think, and you're a youngin' like I am, Ben. Did your parents, first of all, your pops a Cowboy, or excuse me, sorry, pops. Your pops a Commander fan?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the difference. I told you I grew up in a Cowboys household. So the disdain around my team and us never winning, I was met with the same thing that most Cowboys fans say. We'll never win anything as long as Jerry Jones is the owner. My uncle used to always tell me, Linnell, y'all won't win nothing as long as Daniel Snyder is, you know, the guy pushing the buttons. Actually, I haven't tapped in with my uncle today about the old trade for George Pickens. I'm sure he's excited about it. But looking at this division and where they stack up to the other teams, how do you not feel like, how do you not feel like they're right in the thick of this thing? Is the gap between Dallas and Washington that significant? I don't know if I can say that. I think Washington has a better quarterback. I think they're a better coach team. But from just a pure talent perspective, Dallas has got some horses, man. Dallas got some dudes that could go. But in terms of where they stack up in the NFC East after this offseason, like, this is tough for me. Because I try to be as open and honest and objective as I could be. I'm not a homer. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, pat Washington on the back for every damn move that they make. I will give credit where credit is due, like I continue to say. And I think that can be true for Dallas right now. They deserve flowers. They deserve their kudos. They have gone out and put together a pretty damn good football team, man. That's the best way I can describe it. That's how I look at it. They have gotten better. How will that translate toward the regular season? You know, TBD, to be determined. But I look at Dallas, what they did in the draft and what they did in free agency, and they've upgraded everywhere. Wide receiver room, upgraded. Running back room, upgraded. Offensive line, upgraded. Pass rush, upgraded. Linebacker position. This is probably two of the most underrated signings of this offseason. Getting Kenneth Murray Jr. from the Chargers, right? Excuse me. Where did Kenneth Murray Jr. play last year? I'm blanking. Kenneth Murray Jr. last year played where? This is so embarrassing. This happened to me live on the air. The Titans. Okay. He played his first 4 years in the NFL with the Chargers. Last year he was on the Titans. So excuse me. To get him, he makes your defense faster. He's the type of thicker linebacker that this football team needed. Right? Jack Sanborn. Getting him from what? Or Sanborn, rather, coming from where? Chicago, I believe, is where he played last. He's a guy that comes in and makes your defense a little bit better. So they've improved at linebacker. They've improved along the defensive line. We mentioned it. Dante Fowler, Donovan Azaraku. Getting a healthy Marshawn Neely, getting a healthy Sam Williams. And then in the secondary, I already like Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs as a cornerback duo. I think it's an underrated duo. They were able to acquire Andrew Booth from Minnesota last year. He comes in at 24 years of age, now with a full offseason in their program. He gets a chance to prove himself. Then they took my favorite corner in the entire draft in terms of story. Shavon Revel Jr. out of ECU. only reason he was available when he was is because of the knee injury that he suffered. So Dallas gets two guys with first-round grades in Donovan Ezeraku and Siavon Revlin. They plug them into this defense next year to go along with Micah Parsons and Deron Bland and Trey Diggs. So I think the Cowboys have had the best offseason out of any team in the National Football League. The big question is, how does it translate? How does it translate? Are they a playoff team in the NFC? Maybe. Are they the worst team in the NFC East? I think that belongs to the New York Giants. Are they the second best team in the NFC East? I think that's up for debate. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Anthony in D.C. wants to chime in. What's going on, Anthony? Anthony?
Hey, what's up, Lanell?
What's going on, brother, man?
All right, man. I was trying to make sure that I could hear everything, man. But come on, man. Like, Jesus, you've been talking about the Cowboys for too long, man. I love you, man. You my man. You know, younger than Charles, I love you. But golly, I got out the car when the grocery store came back. You still talking about the Cowboys. Come on, man. Cut that out. I don't care what they doing. I don't care who they got. I don't care who they signed. George Pickens ain't good for nothing but crying and catching a fade. I'm not worried about nothing nobody doing. You know why? Because we were 60 minutes and one Saquon Barkley away from a Super Bowl, and we building up on that.
For
and
sure.
That's where we going at, Linnell. We ain't worried about what nobody doing. You know why? Because we got Jaden Daniels, and that's what's important. And we got people in place that know what they're doing from top and bottom. And now I'm going to tell you another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tired of everybody on our side. I wanted to say something else. But all of these national shows.
Everybody loves us.
Shows now, oh, the Commander's this. The Commander's that. Nah. Don't talk about how great we are now. We was the laughing stock in the NFL.
Anthony, let me ask you this. Where do you think Washington finishes in the NFC East next year? After the draft, after the offseason, where do you think they finish?
I think we finished first in the NFC East. And guess what? I wasn't even worried about the Eagles. I was more concerned about the Lions game than I was the Eagles. I thought we were going to the Super Bowl, but we was 5 turnovers away. Think about it, Lanell. We had 5 turnovers in the NFC East Championship. In the NFC Championship game. So if you don't have those turnovers,
Brother, here's the thing, brother, and I agree with you for the most part. But brother, if my grandmother had a mustache, she'd be my grandfather. If it was a fifth, I'd be drunk as a something. You know what?
I got you, Lanell. I got you. But listen, I just want to say I appreciate you, man. I love you, love 106.7 The Fan. Listen, cut that cowboy talk out because they not better than us. They not going to beat us. I ain't worried
I can't
about
wait.
It. And I want you to, and you know what I want you to do?
What's your
Come
mean?
And see me at the Boss Discount Furniture in Sterling, Virginia. I mean, we have a lot of Commanders come through.
Anthony, I'm going to take your number down off of here, and I will damn sure be coming to see you at Bob's Furniture because I need a new bed. So
all
there
right,
we go.
I got you, Lanell. So Bob's Discount Furniture, Sterling, Virginia.
Yes,
the
indeed.
The best prices and the best furniture.
Bob's is a proud partner of 106.7 The Fan, so we can have you shout them out. Anthony, I appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. That's the beauty of sports radio. You can talk to crazy fans and, who knows? Maybe I got a new bed coming my way via Sterling, Virginia. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on what the best position group is in the NFC East. Who you think had the best offseason? If you got calls on that, we'll get to them. But when we come back, I do want to get to this. Pat McAfee had that blue-eyed, handsome devil, Adam Peters, on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. We'll let you hear the best of that coming up next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. I'm on the old X app right now, and NFL on ESPN's X account put out a cut from Dan Graziano earlier today talking about why he thinks the Cowboys could be a sneaky, sneaky team in the NFC this year and could potentially be in playoff contention. All the reasons he listed, I agree with. Dak, as long as Dak has been the Cowboys quarterback and he's been healthy and played a full season, they've never not been in contention. This tweet, though, was responded to by Louis Riddick of ESPN, and he said, well, the reason that was the case is because Washington was not relevant. He may be the third best quarterback right now in the NFC East. Now that I'm thinking about it, right, we don't even count what the hell New York's doing. They're not up for consideration. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts, Cowboys with Dak Prescott, Washington with Jaden Daniels. There is a legitimate argument and case to be made that, yes, Dak Prescott is the third best quarterback in the NFC East. If I'm being objective, open, honest, transparent about it, I think he's the second best quarterback in the NFC East. I would prefer Dak Prescott to Jalen Hurts. I think Jalen Hurts is the beneficiary of the best offensive line, the best running back, one of the best wide receiver duos. He is the most insulated quarterback in the NFL. Talking about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, to me, does not have what it takes to elevate a unit. Huh? What do you mean, Linnell? Did you see the way he played in the postseason? This is my thing. You insert any of the NFC East quarterbacks outside of what the Giants have going on into Philadelphia's situation from last year, I guarantee they probably win the Super Bowl too. You put Jaden Daniels in Philly last year, they're still in the Super Bowl. You put Dak Prescott, a healthy Dak Prescott, in Philadelphia last year, they're still, in my opinion, in the Super Bowl. So I know we've talked a lot about the Cowboys here tonight, and they're relevant because of the move that they made earlier this morning. I just think, have y'all not learned as fans? I've learned because we've been in the basement for so damn long. You can never predict what's going to happen in an NFL season. Nobody in their right mind last year would have predicted that Washington was going to go to the NFC title game. No one could have predicted that. No one. So before you all start making sweeping judgments about why Dallas is going to be so terrible and why they're the same old Cowboys, use some foresight here and understand that, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, things could be different in Dallas this year as well. I look at that football team. I look at that football team and go, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, they have a chance to take a step forward next year in the NFC East. Will they surpass Washington? Who knows? Will they surpass Philadelphia? Who knows? I think everything in this division next year is going to be contingent upon health. And as I said over the weekend, if you joined me, Washington was a major beneficiary of the injury bug not hitting them hard last year. If the injury bug hits them hard this year, do you think they ultimately make the playoffs? Who knows? I think next year in this division, it is going to be a lot more competitive than maybe people, fans, media members are giving it credit for. I do fully believe, though, that after the move they made this morning, acquiring George Pickens, I genuinely feel like the Cowboys have had the best offseason in the whole division. I think it's a close fight between Washington and Dallas. And I think you can make an argument for both, but I think Dallas has made some pretty seismic upgrades on their football team. Washington has as well. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Who has won the offseason in the NFC East? Washington's made some pretty big moves. I think Dallas has gone out and made some pretty big moves. But who's made the best moves in the NFC East this offseason? Chris is in Maryland. What's chiming in? What's going on, Chris?
Man, Lenore, I love you, bro. You're my guy, champ. But you're talking about Dallas on the Washington Commanders radio station. I'm starting to believe that you're doing some espionage type things over there. I love you, bro.
Hey, yo, go ahead, Slim. Come on,
man. Man, you know Dallas. Come on, bro. Dallas is Dallas every year. They done had all the
brother. But Chris, what they been saying? You know, Chris, what they been saying about us for 20 years?
Bro, the same thing. We never thing. Had a Jaden Daniels. We
I
never
hear
had
that.
A Jaden Daniels.
I hear that.
We never had one of those. Like, come on now. I mean, I think it's my biased opinion. We make the best deals in the offseason because we have an offensive line now. We have a defensive line. We can stop the run. We can – I don't know if we're going to be able to contain as much, but we'll see. We'll see what happens later on.
Look, y'all
and
know
last year,
I'm –
you and
I'm
I had a conversation.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You and I had a conversation last year, last August, bro, and you were like, man, I don't know if we have enough pieces to really do anything. And I was like – it's all about personnel, bro. I don't know if you remember that, but I was like, it's all about coaching and personnel. And I told you, I said, man, we'll probably win like 9 to 10 games. And look, lo and behold, bro, we won 16 games last year.
I hear you.
14 games, I'm sorry.
I know, I hear you.
We won 14 games, bro.
Technically, it was 12. I just love to count the playoffs, man.
You got to start with that, bro. You're giving me heartburn over here, bro. It's hard for me to breathe hearing you talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
Do they not deserve to be talked about?
Pieces. I'm sorry?
Do they not deserve to be talked about? They've had a good offseason.
Hell no. Not on our station. Do they talk about us? They don't talk about us.
Well, the only reason I'm talking about them in terms of the division. They're a part of the division, aren't they?
They are.
Barely.
I give you that. And listen, hold on.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
Jalen Hurts is a lot better than
you
the boy down there in Dallas.
Chris, whatever you got, break it down, put it in a stogie, and send it to Half Street. There's no damn way.
No way. Come on, Lenore.
You think Dak Prescott's a better? You think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott, Chris?
Yes, bro. You got to stop the Hurts slander.
Has Jalen Hurts ever thrown for 4,000 yards in a season?
No, but think about it. Think about the personnel he came from. Like,
I hear that.
He played around.
I hear that.
He didn't have wide receivers for years. I mean. Dak Prescott has what's the boy named 88?
Come on, CeeDee Lamb, and now he's got Pickett. I hear you. Me and my Eagles fan, Chris, my one of my best friends is an Eagles fan. We argue about this all the time.
A lot of my friends are Eagles fans, bro. It's crazy. I know a lot of Cowboys fans and Eagles fans. It's crazy. I'm like,
it's sick. It's nasty work, ain't it, Chris?
Oh, at the Super Bowl party, bro, I was ready to fight, but I understood.
Chris,
I appreciate you.
We're up against the break, Chris. And we got 3 or 4 other calls we got to get to. Rodney in D.C., James in Virginia, Chris in Hyattsville, Sean in Connecticut. We'll get to y'all coming up on the other side of the break. Who has had the best offseason in the NFC East? It's next there on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.